Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So I've got a show and tell for you this morning. It is this very fine little dishcloth or doily, depending on how you choose to use it. They were sort of made as dishcloths, but we didn't use them as dishcloths. We use them at our house as doilies. I brought this particular one because it is the most liturgically appropriate color. It's kind of a lavender, so it's like liturgically approximate. This was made by a saint you don't know. Her name is June, and she made hundreds of these little dishcloth slash doily things, and would just give them out to anybody she could find. It was like zucchini season, but with these. And so she just was constantly knitting on these. It's like a five-needle pattern, the little double-ended needles, and she could make these more or less in her sleep. So she was always knitting during worship, during choir practice, during Bible study, during classes, probably driving down the road. I'm not real sure about that one. But she was always, always knitting these. Not because she thought that the world needed more of these, although apparently it did. She was constantly knitting because knitting helped her ears be attentive to what was going on around her. You may have that same experience of your own body, right? That doing something with your hands helps your eyes or your ears be more attentive to what's going on in the room with you. So what I want to tell you about is June's attentiveness, the thing that these dishcloths helped her maintain. Sometimes in church conversations, the idea of the second coming would come up. Remember I said last week, Advent is preparing not only for Christmas, but also for this second coming, Christ coming again in glory, as we say in the communion liturgy. The Bible points toward this idea that Jesus is coming back, and history indicates to us that Jesus has not fully arrived back yet in that particular glorious way that we're anticipating. And so when that would come up, we would be sort of stuck in that spot, right? And June's answer to that question was always, you know, if you live like Jesus might come back tomorrow, then you are more attentive to what God is doing in the world today. If you live like Jesus is coming back tomorrow, you are more attentive to what God is doing in the world today. Which made like every day Advent for June. She was always paying that kind of attention. So these 4 weeks of Advent, this is the second Sunday of Advent, these 4 weeks look forward to Christmas. They also look forward to Jesus' return at the completion of history, look forward to God's kingdom coming on earth. That kingdom is what gives direction to human life in history. Today's scripture reading that Paul's about to read for us, it points really toward that fulfillment of history with a promise of resurrection. We're going to talk a lot more about resurrection in a few minutes. Resurrection is God's life-giving presence breaking into a world that is otherwise defined by death. And all the best stories point toward God disruptively breaking into the world in just that way.
Today's scripture reading is from Ezekiel, and I like Ezekiel because he was a source of, first, a lot of wisdom, but also some great songs, because Ezekiel was always seeing things that no one else saw. Ezekiel saw the wheels way up, and then, now we'll hear in this one, you'll remember, them bones, them dry bones. Okay? And during the sermon, we'll get a better understanding of what in the world it was that Ezekiel was talking about. But please listen as I read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
Advent is a season that invites us to rest and to reflect in a way that the season before Christmas doesn't necessarily do. But we mark this season not just as the season before Christmas. We mark this as Advent, a time to rest and reflect, and as we rest and reflect, we may recognize what it is we can't do by ourselves. What it is we cannot do by ourselves. See, Advent, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, and particularly in this temperate, middle of a continent part of the Northern Hemisphere, Advent really conveniently connects with the coming of winter here in this place. We get these long, dark nights. We get plants and animals that are becoming dormant and settling into a kind of rest that they may not do the rest of the year. The trees and the plants, they're becoming expectant. They're waiting for the light to return, to come back to them. Human beings, we get more tired during this season. That's not an error. That's not something wrong with you. That is a part of being a biological creature in a time of year when it is getting darker and colder. We find ourselves depending more on warmth and light and community beyond ourselves. We can't just do this on our own in the same way during this season. But like I said, that season before Christmas doesn't necessarily give us that space. So sometimes it helps to take a deep breath, to feel that air from beyond yourself filling you. Feel the way that we are connected to this space, to this world beyond ourselves. However full your lungs go today, let that be full enough to connect you with this world beyond yourself. Sometimes I don't really even notice myself until I slow down and I breathe. I might notice that my hands need to relax. You might suddenly yawn if you take a moment to stop and breathe and realize that you have not been breathing up until that point. If we stop, we rest, we breathe, sometimes we notice what it is that's calling us to let go. What it is that's calling us to loosen our grip just a little bit. Maybe we're called to let go of those big crises in the culture or climate around us. We may be called to let go of those lives and relationships that we have lost since the last Advent or the last Advent that we could be together in person. We may notice how much we need each other. The ways that we need each other's presence in person, the way that we need each other's attention in spirit. There's grace in knowing that truth about our lives, that we cannot do everything by ourselves. This scripture reading that Paul read for us this morning is all about breath. God commands the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, call on God's own breath to come and enter the people of Israel again. As Christians, we read that word breath or spirit or wind, they're all the same word in the original language. We read that word about breath as pointing to the Holy Spirit. So one person of the Trinity is telling a human being to prophesy to another person of the Trinity to come get to work here with these bodies that have just been brought back together. That shows something about what prayer can be. Sometimes we simply let the breath fill us, and sometimes we have to speak bluntly or even angrily to God to express what it is that needs to be said in the world and in our lives together. Ezekiel's vision comes while God's people are in exile in the land of Babylon. This is about 500 years before Jesus. God's people had been conquered and exiled, and Ezekiel was among those exiles from Jerusalem who were displaced and uprooted and had to figure out how to live for 70 years in a foreign land. And Ezekiel, he received these visions, these really weird visions, these visions that pointed him beyond that hopeless situation, pointed him toward what God may be doing. Ezekiel's visions are weird. They're not just beyond the present situation, they're beyond any situation. They're often disconnected from any kind of literal context that you can look at and say, well, this is probably what he saw. No, he just saw stuff. That's Ezekiel's visionary setting. They're pointing to something beyond this present moment, pointing to something that God is doing beyond this present moment. God's action in today's scripture reading gave shape to the idea of a future resurrection. And by Jesus' time, 500 years after Ezekiel's vision, many Jewish teachers expected eventually there would be a resurrection when those who were dead would be brought back to life as part of God bringing in God's kingdom into the world. But the resurrection in today's story is not a literal thing. As the story itself identifies, Ezekiel is taken in the spirit to this valley and he's shown these things, and this resurrection story is sort of a metaphor for what Ezekiel is supposed to say to the people of Israel. So this is not a literal resuscitation of these bodies, but it's worth digging into here because it tells us something about resurrection. God resurrects this people, this gathered people, in multiple different steps. Ezekiel has to prophesy three different times in this story. So first, he has to prophesy to these bones, these scattered, dry bones all across this valley. And they gather together and they reassemble and they're joined with ligaments and skin and they are dead bodies there on the floor of this valley. And so we see, first of all, that resurrection is this embodied thing. It happens in the world of bones and of flesh. And we see that resurrection is a communal thing. It involves being gathered back together. Gathered back together not just with our individual selves, but gathered back together with each other in some way. But then Ezekiel has to prophesy again, because the breath, the spirit, has not showed up yet for this. And so Ezekiel has to prophesy to the breath itself, and then these gathered and enfleshed bones finally receive that breath that they had given back to the wind sometime before in their story. And then Ezekiel has to prophesy, not within this vision, but beyond it. He needs to prophesy to the whole house of Israel, because this vision of these bodies coming back to life, that has been a metaphor. It's been an illustration of God's work to restore and resurrect the people's hopes and promises in the world. Notice I did not say right there that the resurrection is a metaphor. The resurrection is what God is all about in the world, in this story and throughout Scripture. But these bodies coming back to life, that's a metaphor. That's a metaphor for the resurrection. The Gospels tell us about the resurrection. They tell us about how Jesus' body after his resurrection was strange and different. He was definitely not just a revived corpse walking around. He was a new kind of body that appeared within locked rooms, disappeared in the blink of an eye, and yet it was a body that ate and drank and breathed. He was the same, but very, very different. The Apostle Paul talks about a resurrection as being a new life in a spiritual body that is as different from our physical bodies as an oak tree is from an acorn. Entirely different, and yet deeply, profoundly the same. Just like here in Ezekiel, the Bible throughout is clear that resurrection is not simply some invisible immortal soul that whisks off in the wind at the end, but it's also not just a mere return to what was. Resurrection is about regathering what was scattered, about restoring what was broken, about transforming a dead past and metabolizing it into God's living future. We're going to get in just a minute to what resurrection says to us about Advent. When Ezekiel sketches this metaphor for the resurrection, when he has this vision of bodies being brought back together and brought back to life as a metaphor for the resurrection, he's pointing to God's constant, eternal faithfulness. God is faithful to give life beyond death as a physical reality and as a power in the world. Death is both of those things, and God is faithful beyond death. In the resurrection, we are set free to live God's life, no longer under that power. We are set free to live by depending on God's faithfulness, that our physical life is able to point to a theological truth, that our life depends beyond itself. Our bodies, they depend on something beyond ourselves. We depend on air and food and water. Even plants depend on the sun that is outside of them. And human life depends on community and beauty and non-human species. In the same way, our spiritual life comes from outside of us, beyond us. Finally, our spiritual life, our real life, depends on God. And this is finally a story about God. This is finally a story about the Holy Spirit breathing life into the world. When the Holy Spirit breathes life into this physical flesh and blood world, there's a theological word for that. The theological word is incarnation. That's what we're getting ready for, isn't it? We're getting ready for an incarnation. We're getting ready for the Word of God to become flesh. We're getting ready for the Word of God to become flesh 2,000 years ago and today and tomorrow. Jesus arrives on the scene about 500 years after today's story in a little more than 2 weeks, if you're paying attention that way. 2,000 years ago, if you're counting that direction, Jesus arrives as this frail human baby, a baby who cries and pees and smells and giggles, because human life happens in this created, embodied world. The life that God gives us happens in this created, embodied world. And ancient Greek philosophy and our modern world probably would be more comfortable if Jesus were some just perfect set of ideas. But the Bible says no. God intends to live with us in a body, in that body, in these bodies together. And then in a few weeks, we will start to read stories from the gospel about how Jesus continually upsets the world's categories, about how the world does not understand Jesus, about how he is this divine disruption, this invasion of life into a world that is otherwise under the control of death. That invasion of life into the world, that is resurrection. That's what we are waiting for in Advent. Advent is all about expectation. About expectation of God's Spirit, of Christ's life, which comes from beyond us. And so we can trust that what looks like the end is not ultimately the end. So we can rest knowing that God is so much more than what our effort can do. So we can eat and drink and share with each other because we are Christ's body together here and now. And so we can sing this next prayer, a prophecy to the Word, who is animated by the breath of God. I invite you to join in singing together hymn number 103, Come Now, O Prince of Peace.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission lifts up the Salvation Army, which is our December Coins for Concern partner. Every year, the Salvation Army provides gifts for families in need, and they also provide meals on holidays and throughout the year. They provide outreach and recovery services, among other things. The Salvation Army is funded by those familiar red kettles outside the stores during your Christmas shopping season and by your Coins for Concern this month.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.